love for you to visit in person. We'd love for you to visit in person, and if you would like to help support the ministries here at Trinity, gifts may be mailed to 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, where we offer worship service at 9:30 and Sunday school at 10:45. And I understand we're going to have some special music. Thank you to Jesse Helton for sharing the Revelation song. Can you bring the song up? Okay.
I need some green.
Does the internet have this one? I can do it on my phone.
Okay, while we're waiting for that to come up, I'll give you a preview on the message today. The message is taken, the title is taken from one of my commentaries. Generally, I wait until I've just about finished the message in order to title it. But this one here seems to sum up the Apostle Paul's life. Called from contentment to suffering and glory. We say, are ye able? Are we able to enter into suffering with Jesus Christ for the Father's glory? After the Apostle Paul's conversion, on the road to Damascus, he underwent a series of life changes. The Apostle teaches us several important trademarks of the Christian life. That we are to be content no matter what circumstances we are facing in life, we are called to contentment. We know that we fully have resurrection power, and that through that resurrection power, we can bring glory to the Father as well. It reminds me of Wesley's covenant prayer. The prayer itself reminds us to be content with our lot in life, knowing that we too shall suffer, and that in order to be in His will. We surrender our lives, our will, our suffering, wholeheartedly yielding all things to God's disposal, bringing Him glory. The modern day version of this prayer reads, I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing what you will. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you, exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full, let me be empty, let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and your disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. This type of commitment is not easy to live out. To be full, to be empty, to be employed, or to be set aside, to be exalted, or to be brought low in His service requires an act of humility. It requires that we fully submit ourselves to God no matter what is happening in our life at the time.
Oh, okay.
All right. We're going to go ahead and let Jessie sing her song now, and we'll move on with the message after that.
Sorry if it's not very loud.
Worthy is Thou, Lamb who was slain, holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. All creation I sing, praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. I will adore you, my King. Golden rainbow of living color, flashes of lightning and gold of thunder.
Of the children, the voices of the special music, the voices of the congregation, the scripture, the message, all of it is our adoration and our worship to you. We are content in you. We are content whether we are suffering, whether we are dealing with technological difficulties, or whether we are at peace and at praise with you. You are the King of Kings. You are the Prince of Peace. Jesus, we invite you to permeate every single heart and spirit here. Now, living that out, beloved, is a little bit harder to do. When we say that we are able to suffer for Christ with Christ, that does not mean that we white-knuckle it, grin and bear it, as I have the tendency to do. Ask my husband. I can get stressed. I can get grouchy. He'll let you know that. We are called to live in contentment no matter what our lot in life is. To live in joy. Joy is different than happiness. Joy is the deep abiding knowledge in our spirits that tells us that Jesus Christ lives in us, and no matter what is happening in our lives at the present moment, Jesus is with us and everything will work out in the end. Right now we are living in a time of turmoil. Everything in our lives has been turned upside down with COVID.
COVID and with other things in life. Joseph, could you show her to the nursery, please? Thank you. Now, we are called to remember that Jesus walks alongside of us and gives us a deep, abiding joy. Not happiness, not all smiles all the time, but a remembrance of what he did for us. And when we take part of Holy Communion today, we are called to remember what he has done for us. In verses 1, 12 through 14 of Philippians, it says, "Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear." How's that? How is that for contentment in suffering? This man is in chains and he is nearly busting at the seams. Because since he's imprisoned and chained, others have now become confident in the Lord and they have taken up his mantle and they too are sharing the gospel. The apostle goes on to discuss his plans for the future in verses 2, 19, 3 through 1. He tells us that he hopes to send his spiritual son, Timothy, to them soon. And he goes on to tell his beloved church in Philippi that he knows he will see them soon. How is that for hope magnified in the confidence of the Lord? Death looming, in chains, he says he knows that he will see them again soon. His visit from Epaphroditus, whom he describes as his brother, a co-worker, a messenger, and a fellow soldier in the gospel, has come to visit on behalf of the church of Philippi. And this is what Paul has to say. "Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him so that you will see him again and you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy. Honor people like him because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help that you yourselves could not give me." How is that to bringing glory for the furthering of the gospel through suffering? This man almost dies trying to get to Paul in prison to provide some provision for him. Because the church in Philippi absolutely could not at that time. Paul issues a warning reminding us not to put our confidence in the flesh or in the law, stressing that whatever he previously thought was gain, he now considers loss for Christ. One of my commentaries issues a stark reality regarding this passage. It says that most commentaries and lectionaries want to avoid controversy,
So they don't even begin the passage that Jane read earlier until 3:4. Isn't it like the church to want to sidestep controversy? To step out of the way of anything that might cause any kind of an issue? Paul warns the church to be on guard against those who advocate the Jewish observance of circumcision and of holding to the letter of the law. God gave us the Ten Commandments, the guardrails. But he did not intend for us to come up with a bunch of laws on our own and hold to them. Because when we do that, we're doing things on our own right. We are not dependent upon our Lord God Almighty and his grace, his mercy, and his strength. Many scholars view Paul to be criticizing Judaism in this passage, but he's not. He's simply clearing up a misunderstanding. He qualifies himself. In AA, they tell us that we qualify by telling what our life was like before God graced and changed our life, what our life is like now, and how God has changed our life. Paul tells that if anyone should be able to talk of these things, it is him. A Roman citizen, a Jewish citizen, one who was raised up learning of the Torah, one who was given every advantage there is. He's not bragging. He is qualifying. And he calls the ones who are trying to hold people to circumcision and the letter of the law dogs. He says they are dogs. They are misleading the people. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved, for we worship by the Spirit of God. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence whatsoever in human effort. Though I would have confidence in my own effort if I could. You see, the Apostle Paul has learned that he can have no confidence in his own human strength. Even though he was given every advantage possible, he has learned that the only way he can be content with more, with less, and with suffering is to rely fully on what Jesus Christ has done for us upon the finished work of the cross. This passage, if read clearly, can overturn some of our misunderstandings of early Christian life. For they, just like us, had disagreements about doctrine, about how the way things should be done. And instead of focusing upon the cross, instead of focusing upon what Jesus Christ has done for us, instead of focusing upon how much God loved us and coming together, they, just like us, wanted to quibble about doctrine and how certain things should be done. Scripture tells us that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That is awe and reverence of the Lord. That is before we partake of Holy Communion, we come before the Lord and we cleanse our hearts and our minds. And we give everything up to Him with the assurance that no matter how many times we have committed the same sin, He will forgive us and wash us white as snow. And we cannot move forward in our daily lives in any true capacity without His strength, His grace, His forgiveness, and His mercy. My favorite part of this passage is found in verses 7 through 11. Allow me to read that from the New Living Translation. I once thought all these things were valuable, but I now consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain in Christ and becoming one with Him. I no longer count my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with Himself depends upon faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. I want to suffer with Him, sharing in His death, so that one way or another, I myself will experience the resurrection from the dead. Huh. Paul is so passionate, so in love with his Lord and Master that he is saying, I want to experience Christ's death with Him. How many of us can truly say that we love Jesus that much? That we want to experience that. We all want the resurrection power. We all want the healing gifts. We all want what Jesus has to give us. But are ye able? You know, the language that Paul uses here is that of athletes. And his encouragement to his beloved church in Philippi and to us, his readers here today, is that we are to keep our eyes focused on the prize. What's that prize, kids? It's Jesus, isn't it? The prize for us is the love of Jesus, knowing that Jesus loves us with all His heart and that He will take care of us. That we continue to run the race and remember that when the race nears the end and our muscles are strained to the point of breaking endurance, that is when the breakthrough is coming. I remember my second girl, her first cross-country race. It was an awful field. It was around Oak Hill High School, right outside of Marion, Indiana. That thing went up hills. It had curves and twists and turns. And I watched her take off, and she was strong. And I saw that first couple of laps, and I watched my baby, and I hooted and hollered and whistled for her. And then I looked up. About the fifth or sixth lap, I saw my baby breathing hard, and I saw her move out from her center of gravity, and the top part of her body was leaning over her feet. And I thought, oh, she's not pacing herself. She's not going to do very good. I said, Jess, pace yourself. She waved me on like teenagers tend to do to their mother. Ah, I got this, Mom. And by the final couple of laps, I watched my baby. She was pale. And she was barely making it. And I watched her start coming up, and I watched the other ones coming up alongside of her. And she was panting, and she was trying to stop. And I said, baby, keep your eyes on the finish line. And she turned and she looked at me. I jumped over the fence. I was a lot younger and thinner then. I jumped over the fence, and I rode alongside of my baby girl. And I said, you keep your eyes on that finish line. She crossed it. She was second. She wasn't first, but my baby girl crossed that, and I picked her up by her waist. She crumpled down, she fell down. She started
baby up and I lifted her up and held her arm up in the air to show everybody that my baby was victorious. She kept her eyes on that prize. She might not have paced herself the entire way, but she finished the race. She endured. And we will too. We will keep our eyes focused on Jesus. We will be content, not happy, not thrilled, but content and joyful no matter what our lot is. I'm going to close with the prayer. And then, if it happens to work, we will play Matt Redman's Song of Remembrance for Communion. If not, Cassie, you're going to come up here and sing something. I don't know what, but something. Okay? This prayer is the full prayer for the Serenity Prayer, and I think that it sums up being called from contentment to suffering and glory, and the glory that awaits us. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change most of life. The courage to change the things I can. Me, my attitude, and my outlook upon life. The wisdom to know the difference. Me thinking I can change another person or some situations. Living one day at a time. Enjoying one moment at a time. Accepting hardships as a pathway to peace. Taking as he did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it to be. Trusting that he will make all things right. If I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next.